In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. As they say in Egypt, kind of, القرد في عين أبو غزال. Abuna James always has kinda beautiful eyes when it comes to me. I don't know why, I think he does with everybody. So they needed somebody to talk about the passion of laziness. And they couldn't find many people here who have to deal with this, so they had to import an expert on laziness. So that's why I'm here, because I'm expert on laziness. I can tell you that for a fact. Not on get out of laziness, but actually on laziness. I have very good practice. Before I get into the topic so much, I want to start with some general points about laziness. First of all, laziness is in of itself a sin. But it's not only a sin, it's also more so a complication or a symptom or an indication of something else, something bigger. Okay, it's just like it's not the disease in of itself necessarily, but it's a symptom, it's a sign of a disease. So we need to keep this in mind because this will come in very important in the treatment of it. Number two, it's very rare to find a person who is lazy, period, like overall lazy. When you say this person is a lazy person, this is very rare. Yani somebody who has no interest to do anything. Yani nothing. He just sits there, sucks some oxygen, and that's it. Typically, when you talk to people and they say, Abuna, I'm so lazy, and you talk to them and you find out what's going on, you find out that they're lazy in certain aspects that they would like to be more vigilant in, more active, more energetic, but they're not where they want to be. But with some other things, boy, they can spend hours doing it without even thinking about it. So it's not, if they were lazy, period, they'll be lazy across the board with anything. So we need to keep that in mind too. These are just some examples. Like you might find a student who says, I'm lazy because he's not studying, but when it comes to sports or games or maybe helping out in a workshop or helping dad on the car or something, they're on it, man. They can work for hours till late at night, so that's no problem. So that's not the behavior of a lazy person. So that means they're lazy in a certain field. Another thing is that it is very rare to find someone who has no laziness whatsoever. There are a few. I know some that I've seen myself, and I'm amazed. But we need to, يعني من دلوقتي, agree that each one of us has يعني struggles with this, with laziness, especially in certain aspects of life more than others, but we all have to deal with it. And last but not least, God really does not like laziness, and we're going to see how he deals with that in a minute. So I wanted to talk about first what causes laziness, and then what laziness causes, and then how to treat it, how to try to fix it, how to try to reduce it. There are many, many things. So first, we'll talk about what causes laziness. The first thing is loss of purpose or loss of vision. We're doing a Bible study at Holy Cross in Austin on Philippians, and we're talking actually just a couple days ago about when St. Paul is talking about how I forget about what is behind and I keep reaching forward with what is ahead. And we're trying to figure out, like, yani, he kept even saying, like, after all this, that lest I might, you know, lose, or I'm trying to attain, I don't count myself as I apprehended. And he's just going, man. He's like labored more than any of the apostles, and we're trying to figure out what his secret is. And he shared that with us in verse 14 in chapter 3. He said, I press toward the goal for the prize. He has a purpose. He has a vision. He's not looking, forgetting what is behind, forgetting the bad things he has done in the past because that will bring despair and discouragement and everything. And he's also forgetting all his accomplishment because that can cause self-satisfaction. It's like, well, I've done all this stuff so I can relax a little bit. But no, he's like forgetting all this stuff because he's got one thing in front of him, which is the goal towards the prize, which is to be with the Lord. When I was preparing for this, I heard a really nice analogy. It's kind of funny, but I thought it was very good. I was talking about like how a dog, if like a dog catches, like sees a squirrel or a cat or a rat or something and starts running after this creature, barking, going crazy. And other dogs on the street will see what's happening. They're just going to join in. And you see a bunch of dogs running in the street. But after some time, you'll see that a lot of those dogs, if not all of them, they stop. Why? Because it's like, okay, been there, done that. It's been fun. We enjoyed it. Okay, we're done barking now. We're tired. I'm going to go back home. But not the dog who saw the squirrel or cat or whatever, or those dogs. Why? Because their eyes are on the goal. Their eyes are on the prize. So they are going after it. So this is very important to not get distracted, to keep our eyes on the goal. Loss of purpose or vision. Number two, allowing my flesh to become a spoiled brat, basically, which is something here we in this country have to deal with, struggle with a lot. It's funny now that when you go to a certain house, you have like remote controls on the coffee table, like more than 10 or something, more control for the TV and for the dish and for the player and for the ceiling fan and for the lights and for the ACE and for, they're all remote controls because God forbid I get up to do something. True story. I remember, this was a few years back, but I sat down to watch TV. I was walking in the room, so I turned it in by manually because I'm active and energetic like this. You know. I sit down, and I want to change the channel, and I can't find the remote control. I spent more than 5 minutes digging under the couch and around the house looking for the remote control. Instead of, it would take me 5 seconds to go and change the channel, come sit down, but no. What if I want to change the channel later? I'll have to get up again. Okay, so we moved to Austin, and we got a house, okay, a couple of years ago. And I didn't notice this before, but the microwave in the kitchen. So if I want to hit something for 30 seconds, I have to hit 3, 0, and start. 3 button pushes, okay? I discovered recently, I was so happy, we have a button called Easy On. The Easy On button gives me 30 seconds with one push. I just do boop, and it's 30 seconds. It's so awesome. If I want to do another 30 seconds, one more push. I can do in a minute and a half now in 3 pushes instead of 30 seconds. Doing this, it's amazing, Yanni. One of the reasons why America is one of the richest countries in the world is because we excel at inventing things that make our life more comfortable. And also, at the same time, we're one of the laziest countries. The most obese, the most, you name it. So it's allowing our flesh to become our spoiled brat. This will definitely cause laziness. We're not used to moving. We're not used to having to stand up in line. We have everything drive-through now. I don't know where I saw that. There was a church that was drive-through. I don't know what they do, but St. Paul said also in 1 Timothy 5:6, he said that she who lives in pleasures, and actually the better translation says immersed in pleasures, is dead while she lives. She's dead while she lives. That's not life, okay? We need to try to be aware of always seeking what is more comfortable. Otherwise, it'll lead to laziness. Our flesh is very temporarily satisfied. We can do many things to satisfy our flesh, and it's very happy, but for a very short period of time. I experienced this at the end of the Great Fast. You know, I haven't been eating sweets that much, and everything is fine. Everybody who knows me knows I'm like, I love sweets and desserts. And so I could go the whole Great Fast, no problem. But then after the fast, after the feast, I start having some sweets. Not 24 hours later, that evening, the next day, it's like I can feel my body. It's like, okay, got to find some sweets. Give me some sweets. It wasn't on my mind earlier, but because it got a taste of it. And this is another thing, I'm telling you, I'm an expert. This is another thing I experienced. When I sleep too much, like when I get up, I want to go back to sleep some more. It's weird. The body wants more. The flesh wants more. It's very rarely says, okay, it's enough. Always wants more. Number three that will cause laziness is lazy company. Birds of a feather. In Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sits with the scornful. These are the lazy, by the way. Because lazy people, in order to justify their laziness or feel a little bit better about their laziness, they sit there and go, man, look at these people. What are they working so hard for? It's vain, all vanity, like the Bible says. You know, why waste their time? They're all after the dollar. Sitting with the scornful. If you hang out with lazy people, even if you weren't, sooner or later, it'll happen to you too. You're going to join them and you're going to be lazy like them. That's why one of the things, when we talk with young adults and there's somebody that may be interested in them, you know, male or female, and they go like, what do I do? How do I know them better? Whatever. And say, before you do anything, just watch. See who their friends are. Because show me your friends and I will tell you who you are. Because birds of a feather flock together. So if they're among friends that behave a certain way, one way or another, you know them as well. So hanging out with lazy company is another thing. Number four is absence of the fear of God, or an incomplete view of the fear of God himself. People who say, yani, God is kind, God is forgiving, he understands, he's tolerant, he's gracious, he's merciful, all this stuff, which is true, but it's partial truth, which means it's not true. That's why in court, when you go to court, they say, do you promise to say the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so you don't, you know, wiggle your way around it. Yes, God is all this stuff, that's true, but that's not all. Okay, God is also just, and he's judge, and he judges, and he's impartial. We're going to talk about that in a minute. So they have an incomplete view of God. Or there's no fear of God altogether. And I use this example here, like a student who has a fear for the test, not that they're terrified of it and they lose sleep and all that stuff, no, but has a good balanced fear of the test. They understand the seriousness of the test. They know that my results on this test will affect my entry into college or the job interview I get or my overall GPA or whatever. So because they have a fear of the test, they're gonna study. But if they don't, they're not gonna. So an absence of the fear of God, a wrong view of God. Number five that causes laziness is lying to ourselves to appease our conscience. Again, because we would be really weird people if we did the wrong thing, knowing that it is wrong, and we said, yes, it is wrong, and I just want to do it. That would be interesting. But in order for us to be able to live with ourselves, we've got to come up with some excuses, with some reasons. So instead of telling ourselves the truth, which is, no, I don't want to do this, we say things like, oh, I don't have time, the weather is too hot or too cold or too rainy or the traffic is terrible, you know how it is, and I keep coming with reasons and excuses so that I can feel better about my laziness. Or we say things like, I will do it, but after I check my emails. I will do it after I have a cup of coffee. I will do it after I finish something else. Jeremiah 17:9, it says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Yes, we need to trust our guts, but not for a long time. Not until we have walked for many, many years with the Lord. Then we can trust our gut, which is the Holy Spirit talking to us, but not initially. Don't so much rely on trusting your gut. Well, I feel like God wants me to do this. No, Habibi, be careful because the heart is deceptive above all things. This is a reading from Haggai chapter 1. God was not very happy because the people were busy building their houses and adorning them and making them all fancy, and they ignored God's house. And so, listen to this. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says, the time has not come. I don't have the time. The time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. خلي بالكو. Consider your ways. There are people in my life and in your lives, I don't want to name names, that anytime I feel like I'm getting tired or like I have too much to do or too much on my plate, I think about those people and I tell myself, يا شيخ اتلهي. Honestly, like, what are you talking about, you know? The things that you see some people are able to do, by the way, we have the same number of hours in the day. And you look around you and you see people that are able to do so much, so don't say there's no time. I'm so busy, Abuna. You're not busier than some other people. So don't lie to yourself. Number six, living an unbalanced life. Sometimes we get lazy in certain things because we're so busy and swamped and exhausted from spending too much time on something else. And this something else could be a good thing. It could be work, it could be service, it could be whatever. Too much of a good thing is still not good. Too much is not good. If it's going to cause me to be lazy in some other fields, because God doesn't like laziness. So we need to balance our life pretty well. If I find something that I'm slacking in, something else has to give in order for me to be able to do better at it. Number seven, wrong thinking. We psych ourselves out. Sometimes people will say, oh, if I do this, I will get too tired before work next week. I might get hurt. By the time I come back home, it'll be so late. I won't be able to get my work done. I might hurt my back. I might ruin my nice clothes. I might break a nail. I might... Yani, we keep psyching ourselves out instead of doing the other ways. Like God, you know, like Nehemiah said, God, the Lord with us, he'll prosper us. We, his servant, will rise and build, right? They could have said, the wall is so big, we're just a few people, we have so many enemies, we don't have all the right tools, it took our forefathers years and years to do it, and the list goes on and on and on. But no, we're not going to give excuses or psych ourselves out. We're going to do the opposite. The Lord will prosper us, and we, his servants, will rise and build. This is a good example in Proverbs 26:13. It's really funny, actually. Verse 13, it goes, the lazy man says there's a lion on the road, a fierce lion in the streets. As the door turns, yani, he doesn't know what else to say. Yani, he can't think of anything else. There's a lion on the road. Yani, he's making up stuff to suck himself out. And then it says, as a door turns on its hinges, so does a lazy man on his bed. You know doors that are like those old doors that don't like latch or whatever, and they're on the hinges and they kind of squeak, they keep turning this way, and they make this annoying noise that you just want to rip it out of the wall because it bothers you so much. A lazy man is like this. He's on his bed. He's got plenty of sleep, dozed off, woke up, dozed off, woke up, and he still doesn't want to get up, so he's just tossing and turning on his bed. It's as if he's hinged to the bed from his back, and he's just not going anywhere. The lazy man buries his hand in the bowl. This is so funny. It weighs him to bring it back to his mouth. Yani, he dipped his hand in the bowl. It's like, should I bring it up? Or it's so hard. I'm going to get a cramp. Ya Habibi khallas. Notice back then in the bowl, they all ate in the same bowl, so they're waiting on him. Anyway. And then another thing is that the lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. Again, scornful, criticizing all these people doing all this stuff. Why are they working so hard for? Where's the fire? You know, slow down. Because in his own eyes, I'm wiser than all of them. I got it figured it out already. It's vanity and vanity, all the whole thing. So why work so hard? Number eight, which is very real, is depression and hopelessness. Sometimes when people get depressed, they just don't feel like doing anything. Which is funny because sometimes when they get depressed, they bury themselves in work and busyness. So they don't have to deal with certain things. So it's a bit confusing. But a good example of this is Elijah. You know, after the big miracle and the sacrifice and the water, you know, fire came and consumed all the sacrifice and the water and everything, and he called all the prophets of the Baal, and it's like great victory. And then the evil queen Jezebel said, "Yani, so help me, if I don't do this, yani, may it be done to me." And she threatened to kill Elijah, and he ran away all scared and depressed and sad and discouraged and all that stuff. And listen to what it says. It's 1 Kings 19. Then, as he lay and slept under a broom tree, so he went and he just plopped down. He laid down. He doesn't want to do anything. Suddenly, an angel touched him and said to him, "Rise and eat." Then he looked, and there, look at this, by his head, yani, he's laying like this, and the food's right here. Because, yani, God knows, the angel knows, he's depressed right now. If you put it a few steps away, he's not going to get up and eat. Yani, might as well just put it in his mouth. So he ate and drank and laid his head back down. Then he took was a cake of bread on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and he said, "Rise and eat." Depression can be very difficult and cause laziness. And If a person is lazy in a certain something or many things because of depression, and we sit there and go, come on, get up, you can do it. And out of ignorance, we don't see that this person is depressed. This will depress them even more because it'll make them feel worse, and it's not really helping them. So we need to be aware. This is very important as we're treating it. طيب. So that's enough for now. That's about eight reasons. But let's go back now to what laziness causes. Laziness is pretty bad. First of all, apathy, stagnation, fitur, ruhi, and otherwise, no growth, becoming superficial. Laziness, you know, if you look at the soul, because God resembled our hearts to the soul in the parable of the sower, right? Depending on where the seed falls, then, you know, if you're a good soul or thorny soul or stony soul, whatever, the very first soul by the wayside, if you look at it, this is the wayside where people walk. It's hard, okay? Everything is superficial. The seeds don't go anywhere because they're still on the surface. Because what? There's no tilling. There's no planting. It's just flat, hard ground. Laziness. So anything comes, some breeze comes and blow off the seeds, or any hardship, anything that comes and is just gone. So there's no depth, there's no going anywhere. There's a lot of apathy and superficiality. Number two, decay. Decay of things that have already been built. Ecclesiastes 10:18, it says, because of laziness, the building decays, and through idleness of hands, the house leaks. If you think about it, yani, a house is to, it's called a shelter. It's to protect us from the element, from the heat, from the elements, from bugs, from animals, from danger, from thieves, or whatever. So laziness not only causes apathy and lack of growth, but even what I have accomplished, if there's laziness and it's left alone, will start falling apart. There's no more an immune system against the world. So even what I've accomplished goes away because of laziness. In the parable of the talents, when the master gave, you know, one servant five and one two and then the one, the one who had the one talent and he buried it in Matthew 25, the master took it from him, and then the Lord said, for whoever has, to him more will be given. Whoever is producing, whoever is diligent, whoever is working and producing, more grace and more help and more gifts, more he will be entrusted with to do and will have in abundance. But whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away from him. That's the decay. Even what you already had, what you worked on before, if you let your laziness go, over time it will decay and will be taken from you, that too. It's not good. Number three, evil thoughts, or what I like to call stinking thinking. The church fathers say what? An idle mind is the playground of the devil. Another one says the workshop of the devil. I like the workshop better because they're not just playing there. They're like creating something. They're up to something no good. And it's funny because, you know, as you go through, you know, I deal with a lot of, you know, young adults and students and so on, and there's certain times of the year during the semester where they're busy, they have a routine, there's the stress of tests and studying and projects and staying up and doing all this stuff, they actually tend to do quite well spiritually. But the trouble comes during summer break, during Christmas break, during spring break, when things get restful, when things get easy, when they're not so busy or occupied, then the devil comes in and starts working. And you see this a lot, like, again, in countries that are more like the U.S., that are more advanced in being comfortable, like what we talked about earlier, you find a lot more thoughts of, like, atheism or doubting God or the existence of God or all that stuff. Thoughts of hopelessness, because they sit there and they look at how evil the world is around us and how evil is increasing and so on, because they have time back. So it's a playground, it's a workshop for the devil. They start looking and paying attention to all this stuff. Also, replaying the tape of past events. You know, I remember on Sunday after church when I said hi to this person, they kind of said hi to me in like a weird way. They didn't really look me in the eye so long. I wonder what, and like the seed is planted and I start chewing on it and it grows into something, kinda, out of nowhere because my mind is too idle. If a person's really busy running around or whatever, somebody says hi to you, be like, hi, and you go, you don't even know who it is. You didn't notice how they said it or the way they said it or where they were looking or what words they used or their tone or their volume or any of this stuff because you're too busy to notice all this, which is a blessing. Finding faults and other lustful thoughts, this is huge as well, and so on. Laziness causes all this, my brethren. Number four, poverty of all kinds and shame. I'm talking poverty financially, intellectually, emotionally, socially, poverty. There's none, Adam, okay? Proverbs 10, 4 and 5, it says, he who has slack hand, yani who's lazy, becomes poor. But the hand of the diligent makes rich. Yani, I don't have to be rich, but if I'm diligent, I will be rich. Again, not just financially, spiritually, intellectually, emotionally, and so on. He who gathers in summer is a wise son, and he who sleeps in harvest is a son that causes shame. Poverty and shame will come out of laziness. It's not good. Number five, remember earlier when we said about the causes, having lazy company? So there you go. What laziness causes is that I'm the culprit. I'm the carrier of this virus. When I am lazy, it's contagious to others around me. Now, there's two ways. One way is like, you know, I'm sitting there not doing anything, watching TV or whatever, and maybe a friend of mine is going to go, hey, I'm going to go to Tazbeha, or hey, I'm going to go to the gym, or whatever. I'd be like, come on, man, just hang out with me, stay with me, because then I feel better. At least there's two of us doing it. It's not me by myself. But even if I don't do this, just by me sitting around, not doing anything, subconsciously, I'm going to cause them and attract them to want to be more lazy as well. So even if I don't mean to, I will cause it. It spreads. Number six, this one's it's pretty big. It's laziness is the mother of many, many sins. It's a very fertile sin or fault. It causes a lot. We're all very familiar with the sad story, which is 2 Samuel 11. King David, listen to this. It says it happened, one thing we learn growing up and in Sunday school, and we teach it in Sunday school, is that every word is in the Bible for a reason, and every word that is not in the Bible that you would expect it to be in the Bible is not there for a reason. Look at the word choices. It says, it happened in the spring of the year at the time when kings go out to battle. Yani, this is the time where the kings should go out to battle, but King David didn't. Then David sent Joab, his commander, and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the people of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained in Jerusalem. Then it happened one evening. When do people go to bed? At night, not in the evening. Evening, yani sunset, eve, vespers. It's not sleep time. But where is he? On his bed. King David, the shepherd who spent many days and nights watching sheep vigilantly, who wrestled with lions and bears, who used to take food to his brothers in battle and not fear anything, was always active, always busy, always doing stuff. He led hundreds of men through battles and through the wilderness for years from place to place when he was riding and hiding from King Saul. King David, now what? He's lying on his bed on the evening. And then he arose out of his bed, walked on the roof for a stroll, and then we know the rest of the story. It's a very fertile birthing sin. 1 Timothy 5:13, this is St. Paul is talking to St. Timothy, and he's urging him that young widows should get married. Not the older widows, but young widows should get married and have children. And here's why. From verse 13, it says that they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house. It's like, I don't know what to do. Okay, I'll go visit my friend, and then we'll start yik-yakin. And not only idle, because laziness is not a soul sin or fault, but also gossips, busybodies, saying things which they ought not to. So, yani, it causes a lot more because they become idle. So it's better for them to get married and have kids and be busy with those kids, do something good. What's also funny is that you notice that people who have a lot of comfort and are idle and lazy and so on, they tend to be a lot more depressed people. If you notice, even though we have the most comfortable country in the world, if you will, and we excel in making things that are so comfortable, to where we can do things with just a button, we are still, this country is the highest consumer of antidepressants. This could be a clue. Okay, and many people you've seen who go to mission trips, poor countries where people have to walk miles to get a glass of water or to work to find something to eat or whatever, and they tell you, I don't get it. They're so happy. They're genuinely joyful. They have nothing. And instead of us going there to help them, they're actually the ones who help us. Okay, let's go to the good stuff. Now, how to fight or prevent laziness, or at least reduce it a little bit. There's actually so many things. Thank God there are many ways. You can just pick some of them or one of them, and it will be helpful. First of all, if it ain't broke, why fix it, right? So first of all, we need to just lay it on the table and say, I do struggle with laziness. I am lazy. We need to admit that I am lazy. Number two, it works both ways. Since lazy company causes me to be lazy, the opposite is also true. I need to find myself some people who are active people, who are vigilant, who are active, who are vivacious. I like that word, vivacious. Full of life, kida. They don't sit still, they do stuff. Okay? So it's contagious both ways. If I hang around people who are active and working and doing things, automatically it's like something's itching. I gotta get up and do something with them. I've experienced this, it's true. Number three, accountability. This helps a lot. Two is better than one, okay? I don't know why, maybe because we don't see God with our eyes, but we see other human beings with our eyes. When I have a partner or somebody or a spiritual father or a father of confession that I'm accountable to, and we make a deal together, okay, we will both do this together and we will be accountable to each other. That means I report to you. Maybe also you report to me. It doesn't have to be reciprocal, but at least that I report to them. It actually helps a lot with laziness. It's motivating. I know like a group of college students last year. There were several of them struggling with this. They want to read the Bible more, but they just didn't. They had laziness in this aspect. And even though they were in different cities, they decided to make a group text thing, and they agreed together, hey, we'll read a chapter from the Bible, you know, from this book and so on. And everybody, when they read this chapter, they're going to pick a verse that they really liked and text it to the group. And it was amazing. That's all. Just because a little bit of accountability, it got them all motivated. And it was really a beautiful semester for them. It was very helpful. Number four, check yourself. This is going to sound weird, but yani, we're not one. We're actually three in one, right? We have the flesh, we have the spirit, and we have the soul. Let's put the soul aside. But let's work on this flesh. Let's trick it. Let's fool it. Sometimes, and I've done this before too, it's like starting is so hard. I remember it also with like going to the gym decades ago when I used to go to the gym. Or when I want to get up to read or pray the Bible, whatever. Say like, okay, I'll get up and just say Our Father. Okay, I'll just do the Thanksgiving prayer and that's it. Because the hardest is the very beginning. It's just getting up and doing this thing. Once you get and started, if you've experienced this, you'll find that like, I'm already here. Might as well do a psalm. Okay, yalla, the gospel. Let's do the gospel. And you actually trick yourself into doing things and it works, believe me. A good analogy of this that I thought of is the 18-wheeler. If you're ever driving your car and you're approaching a traffic light and you see it's two lanes, and you see in one lane an 18-wheeler, a big old truck, and then some cars in the other lane. Who do you stop behind? The cars. It could be one truck and 20 cars, but you're going to stop behind the cars. Why? Because, you know, for this truck to get up and get momentum is just agonizing. I have to wait 10 seconds or something. It's like horrible, but it's a different story. But, you know, they put it in gear and you hear all the engines revving. And it's like seventh gear and they're still in the middle of the intersection. It's like, you know, so it's just like that. The start is the hardest, but once you start and get some momentum and start moving, man, once they're going full speed, you better get out of the way. I think they said for a train to stop, it takes, I don't remember, half a mile or a mile or something, because just from that momentum, just do whatever. If you have to trick yourself just to get started, And you'll find that that helped and worked. Number five, as we've said, too much of anything is not a good thing, so live a balanced life. Too much work is not good. Too much service is not good. I don't remember word for word, but one of my favorite verses, which shows so much, you know, it's not my favorite, I should have it memorized, but it's Isaiah 30:15. It says it's in rest and solitude that you regain your energy and strength. Fil hudu wa sakina, something like that. So we need that. Even the Lord himself used to go and have this quiet time with God, used to go and rejuvenate. We need this to be able to go on. Too much of anything is not a good done. Number six is break it down. Sometimes when I look at everything that I have to do, it's overwhelming. Again, there are people that have a lot more to do than I do. Just pick one thing that I'll focus on for now and work on that. Forget the rest for a little bit. Just work on this one thing. A good example that I use is climbing Mount Everest. Imagine I go in front of Mount Everest and I'm standing in front of the mountain and I look up and my goal is to be on that peak. And I look and I see a whole mountain in front of me. Before I even think on how I'm going to do this, I'm going to forget this. I'm out. It's overwhelming. But imagine if you're looking at this mountain and you look at the side and you find there's a staircase. It's steps, normal steps, these steps. There's every 10 or 20 steps, there's a landing where you can stop and rest or pitch a tent or whatever, lodge. All of a sudden, it's oh, wait a minute. I can do this. It might take me a long time, but I can do this. I can do it a little bit at a time. So break it down. We talk about this with the kids sometimes when they have this massive project due in 3 weeks. We'll say, okay, hold on. Step one, before you think of what you got to do, just break it down and do a little bit every day. I can get it done and have a week to spare just to relax or review or check it with the teacher or do whatever. Break it down. Give yourself SMART goals, which is small, measurable, achievable goals, targets. Okay? Break it down. Number six, remember, like it or not, you will have to work sooner or later. You will do it, whether you like it or not. You are the one who gets to decide when you do it, okay? Proverbs 12:24, it says, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy will be put to forced labor. I was lazy. I decided not to work. Okay, give it some time, and then I will be poor and needing, remember? And I will be forced to work. Like it or not, I will work. So choose. Do it now, or reap the consequences and do it by force when you don't want to. And don't get the reward for it that you should get. A good example of this is in the five foolish virgins. They did not get to go into the wedding. Why? Because they slept? Because they slumbered and slept? No. Because even the wise virgins slumbered and slept. But it's because they didn't get their oil in their vessels early on. They chose to, whatever, be lazy, whatever that means. So they got their rest earlier. They didn't do it back then. If you will do it sooner or later, when the bridegroom came and they wanted to go, they couldn't go in. So what did they have to do? They had to go get the oil. طب ما كنتم الأول, go get the oil. Like it or not, sooner or later you will have to do it. So might as well do it sooner, بمزاجي, before I have to do it begrudgingly. Number seven, also remember that you will also rest or enjoy the reward sooner or later. So if you rest earlier, then you're going to have to work later. It's like physics, it's going to happen. So it might as well do it now. Number eight is fear God. And yes, I say fear God like an instruction, like a command. It's a choice. It's not a feeling. I need to fear God. Like that verse when the Lord told them, don't be afraid of those who kill and after they kill have nothing else that they can do. But I'll show you of whom you should fear. Fear him who after he kills has the power to cast into hell. Fear God. Some people go I struggle with this term, fearing God. To me, God is the shepherd, the savior, the great physician. I picture Jesus, with the lamb on his shoulders. I can't be afraid of him. I love him too much. طيب. Okay. Don't fear him. There's three things that you will easily fear. Number one is fear his judgment, because he will judge. Don't fear him, but fear his judgment. 2 Corinthians 5, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Like we say in the liturgy, and give each one according to his deeds. The judgment is coming. So fear that. Know that it's coming. Number two, fear his justice. You know, when in Matthew 25, when the Lord separates the sheep from the goats, and he said, I was hungry and you fed me, I was thirsty and you gave me to drink, I was naked, I was a stranger, I was sick, I was in prison, and you did all this stuff. And you know, they said, when, Lord? And he said, whenever you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Those people who did it, they got to be on the right. They got to be sheep. And those who didn't, they got to go to the left, to be goats. So there's justice, there's fairness here. And again, each one according to his deed. If good, then good. If bad, then bad. So fear his justice. And number three, fear his impartiality. Our Lord is impartial because truth is truth. Romans 11 says, do not be haughty, but fear. There's that command again, fear. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he's talking to the Gentiles here. The natural branches are the Jews. Yani they were his chosen people, and he did not spare them and took them out so that you can be grafted in. Okay, it said, for if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Otherwise, this is later on down verse 22, it says, otherwise you also will be cut off. He's impartial. You abide in him, ahlan wa sahlan. You bear fruit, great. You don't bear fruit, you're taken off and thrown to the fire. He's impartial. So fear those things. If you can't fear God himself, I guess, fear his judgment, his justice, and his impartiality. Number nine, find something that you like and start with that. Yani, if... Because some things we just, yani, we all each have our tendencies, certain things we like and certain things we don't like. So if, let's say, I struggle with reading the praying the Akbaya or reading the Bible, but I love tasbih, just play tasbih and throw me in a room for 24 hours. I'm happy. Khalas. Start with the tasbih. You can actually chant or pray, because they're prayers too. Pray parts of the tasbih a few times in the day. Make that your thing, just to get that momentum, to get that 18-wheeler moving. And after some time, just by you doing this, you're like, oh, wait a minute. I think this is in the Bible too. This is in the Igbeya too. You know, might as well do this, might as well do that. And so find yourself something to like you, just to get you moving, to get those joints greased and moving and warmed up. Number 10, this is, I think, the slide before last. We're almost done. Physical exercise. Do as I say, don't do as I do, okay? Physical exercise. I studied this too, actually, which is shame on me. I'm telling you, I'm the expert. Physical exercise causes the release of endorphins in the body. Natural antidepressants, okay? They're like neurotransmitters that actually work as antidepressants. People who exercise regularly, I'm not saying kill yourself, because too much of a good thing is not good, okay? But actual physical exercise, doing that regularly a few times a week, will help tremendously, will get you going, will get you to go above that threshold, especially if you're dealing with depression. And it just causes the whole body to be active, and you sleep better, and you wake up more rested, and it's just overall good, physical exercise. Number 11, which is nice and practical, is make a schedule and prioritize and plan. Make a schedule, and it's like, yani, again, because I'm lazy, but yani, I need help to make a schedule. But someone told me once, look, right when you go to bed, okay, it's going to take all of 1 minute, maybe 2 minutes. Just grab your phone or your tablet or whatever, open up your calendar, and start doing, like, from this time to this time, I'll do this. And they told me, why is it, if you ever been to retreats or conventions, it's like 2 or 3 days, but boy, we do like the equivalent of like 10 days of stuff. Why? It's because we have a schedule. You know, like, you know, 7 to 7.30, wake and wash up, 7.30 to 8, prayer, 8 to 9, breakfast, 9 to 10, first lecture, 10 to 11, outing. You know, there's, and put stuff in the schedule that are, oh, yani, put rest in the schedule. Put recreational stuff in the schedule. Put, you know, whatever, just extra time to do whatever in the schedule. But make a schedule And just try this. Just for the next day. Don't schedule the whole week. Don't schedule everything. Just for tomorrow. It'll take a couple of minutes. And when you have that with you, you'll find that you're doing a lot of the time, a lot of the things, but you're in charge now. You're more intentional about it. And boy, it feels good because you're doing your thing and you don't feel like you're wasting time. And that's motivating in of itself. Says here, don't wait for opportunities to come, but make your own opportunities. I love this quote. I don't remember where I heard it, but it just stuck with me, which is, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Guaranteed. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. It's just like with money. I forgot that first bullet. It's like when your income comes into the house, you need to have a budget, right? This is going to go to these bills. This is going to go for the car. This is going to go for the house. This is going to go to saving, tithing, whatever, groceries, travel money, fun money, whatever, miscellaneous. Is you got to, everything has to have a name on it. So the same thing with time as well. Number 12, show your flesh who's the boss. I like a story I heard once, actually by His Holiness Pope Shenouda himself one time, many, many years ago, I heard it. He was talking about one time when he was a monk in the monastery and it was during the great fast, and boy, he really wanted a cup of tea. He was just dying for a cup of tea. And every few hours would pass by and he looks at the clock, he's like, okay, 4 more hours. Looks at the clock, okay, 2 more hours. And then right when the clock was hitting whatever his target time was, like, tea time. And then he was like, oh, he caught it. And he was like, what? You're like making me lose the benefit of my fast. And طب مش حتى اشرب شاي. And he said this to himself, and he didn't allow himself to drink tea. I don't know for how long, يعني. But our flesh is an animal, okay? Our flesh is the beast. It just wants to eat and sleep and just make merry and do fun things or whatever. It doesn't think ahead. So show your flesh who's boss. 1 Corinthians 9, it says, this is St. Paul speaking, okay? He says, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight. Look at the word choices. Not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. St. Paul, who traveled the world, so many journeys and so much things and stuff, he don't take it easy. He forget what's behind, and he's pressing towards the goal. He's in charge of his flesh. A good analogy of this is if you remember the long, you know, the old battles when the commanders would be riding this carriage, or what do you call it? Chariot. And, you know, it's pulled by 2 or 4 war horses. They're not regular horses that do farming. They're like battle horses, just full of muscle and energy and so powerful. And you see that the commander, like, he's got the reins, kid, his arms wrapped around them, and he's got them so tight. And when he's got them so tight, boy, they go, you can just trample on the enemy, and you can go places. You can conquer battles and wars because he's got good, tight pull on, he's got control, he's in charge. If those reins are loose, those horses, they just run like crazy, okay? They're beasts. They can just run into a tree, run into a hill, go off a cliff. You could just cause your demise. So you got to be in charge. So show your flesh who's boss. Lastly, I'm going to close with this. And I never noticed this before, but I always hear women when they hear about or read Proverbs 31 about the virtuous wife or the virtuous woman, superwoman, and they're like, yeah, right. You know, sure. You know, in the apricot. يعني في المشمش. But look at this. Pay attention to this. I'm gonna just skim through them real quick. This is some of the stuff, or most of the stuff, that the Bible describes her. It goes what? She does her husband good. She seeks wool and flax. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night. She provides food for her husband. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she doesn't sit, okay, let's just sit and be merry. No, from her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself. And it says also her arms are strong. Her lamp does not go out by night. She doesn't quit. She extends her hand to the poor. She makes tapestry and linen garment. She watches over the ways of her household. Yes, this is possible. God said, be perfect like your Father in heaven is perfect. This can be, he wouldn't tell, it wouldn't be fair. It'd be torment, it'd be torture if he tells us to do something that we can't achieve. Because some people do exist that do this. But if you notice that her main virtue, she does all the stuff, but her main thing is that She's not lazy. She's always doing something. Whatever it is, just do something. Stay active and do things. I love, you know, we're celebrating St. Mary's fast, but like in the story of the wedding of Cana of Galilee, I'm the mother of Jesus. I want a nice big seat, you know, sit up front, you know, and get to watch a nice show and all this stuff. No. She's out there serving. You know, she's doing stuff because she could tell that the wine ran out, and she told the Lord they ran out of wine. An active person is, yani, the sky's the limit. You and God, and active, there's no stopping it, okay? But laziness is pretty bad. So let's remember the things that cause laziness, so maybe we can avoid some of them. What laziness causes to us, because that will definitely motivate us to try to avoid some of it, and maybe some of those things that we can do to help reduce or decrease our laziness. May God help us all to not be lazy servants, but to be good and faithful servants. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.